This next clip comes to you from Regionally Speaking with Chris Nolte.
This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. The COVID-19 pandemic has shed some new light on some of the ways that one can disinfect rooms, not only for individuals and facilities as well. And a team of researchers set up at Purdue University has come up with some interesting ideas, one of which is an airborne disinfection method that uses food coloring dyes. And we have with us the lead researcher on the project. He's Professor Young Kim. He is a biomedical engineering professor at Purdue University, and he works out of the Purdue Quantum Science and Engineering Institute. And Professor Kim, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Thank you so much for reaching out to me as well.
I know that there's the interest because of the pandemic and all, but there probably were some other things that might have been in everyone's mind on the research team as you were putting things together that you decided you had to find a more inexpensive way to disinfect things, because we know it's getting to be very expensive these days to have to rely on chemicals to do all the killing of the germs and the virus.
Right. There's a strong evidence that coronavirus is airborne. That means coronavirus can float and transmit it in the air. And although we have all different kind of disinfection methods, but we don't have a good method to disinfect the air. So that's the whole motivation of our research.
I know that I think most people think of the best antiviral and antibacterial disinfectant is using something like maybe like an alcohol base, because that's where, you know, a lot of the disinfectants that you buy nowadays, even the environmentally sensitive ones, friendly ones, maybe I should say, have to use some kind of like an ethyl alcohol base or something like that. But how did you all come up with this way to use something that's a bit more, even more so, environmentally friendly?
So as you pointed out, our technology uses FDA-approved food dyes, mm-hmm. and we identified a few food dyes can generate, it's called singlet oxygen, it's more like radicals. So when we shine light on those particles that generate singlet oxygens, and then it is well known that singlet oxygen can inactivate or neutralize viruses. So the way we kind of approach is a little different. We want to make some aerosols of this photosensitizer or this food dye so that they can float in the air, kind of lingering in the air, and then they can interact with some of virus-containing aerosols from an infected person.
Now, how does the disinfectant, maybe in its way, because it's the type of chemical compound it is, how does it be able to identify and latch on to the coronavirus that's out there?
So actually, we don't have any kind of active detection mechanism. Mm-hmm. So it's more like a passive mechanism. We want to generate, it's kind of diffuser. We want to generate the singlet oxygen-generating FDA-approved food dyes in the air. So let's say there's some floating kind of particles that contains coronavirus, then they can interact and then deactivate those. So that's the idea.
How do the dyes manage to linger in the air long enough to be able to latch onto the virus?
And actually, it's an excellent question. We had an idea from airborne coronavirus aerosols. Actually, many scientists discovered that if any types of particles, aerosols, if their size is less than 5 microns, then they float and linger in the air. So the way we approach is the same. So we want to generate aerosols of this food dye. If their size is smaller than 5 microns, then they can just float in the air. So that's how we kind of approach this problem.
Have you found that there might be a specific use or an application, maybe I should say, that this will work best with? Maybe it would work best, for example, in healthcare issues and things like that, or people that are on the first line of fighting the virus, maybe at a hospital or a clinic of some kind. Someplace like that where it might be able to do the best way of disinfecting and fighting the virus?
Right, actually, absolutely right. We can think about several different applications, you know, in hospital settings or just any regular settings, indoor settings. Primarily, we are interested in the indoor settings. For example, you know, Purdue University is returning to in-class in the fall. So that means, you know, many students will be in a indoor settings in the classroom. Then this technology may be useful if every, you know, safety features and everything else is approved. So that's one of the applications. And definitely, as you mentioned, that we can use this technology potentially in a hospital settings, disinfect a large area and airs and et cetera.
Now, you mentioned, of course, you have to have FDA approval to be able to use this on a wider basis than just in the lab. Are you going through that application process right now to get it approved?
It's an excellent question. We are actually falling into a gray area of FDA and EPA. So if we're focusing on medical devices and settings in hospitals, then it actually belongs to FDA regulations. But it's more like a general disinfection kind of thing. It's under EPA. So we need to figure out which route is the best for this technology. So we have to dive into more details to get, regulatory approval.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned earlier here about the possibility of applying this to be able to disinfect classrooms on the West Lafayette campus, or I suppose any of the Purdue campuses, if it's set up that way. Have you spoken with folks on campus to see if, you know, you mentioned, number one, if they're interested in doing this, and if maybe if things are approved, they'll be able to put it to work right away?
Right. I wish I can move fast, but as you mentioned, that we have this safety issue, so we have to confirm that it is safe. Although we feel it's relatively safe, no kind of outstanding hazard and et cetera, but I don't think, frankly speaking, it's really ready to place this in a real setting.
So it's working through the process of research, I guess, right now, huh?
Right.
I understand that the team members had a chance to present this technology during a virtual conference this past month. Tell us about that, and what was the response that you got from your colleagues out there about this idea?
So we are invited to present this work in a tech transfer conference focusing on COVID-19 event. So I heard that there are more than 100 different technologies are submitted, and then we are one of them selected to present. So we actually received very interesting questions. And number one is actually the safety issue. Let's say somehow somebody inhales this, then is there any issues? So that's something we have to really address carefully. Again, we are using this for our humans. And the second one is the possibility of surface staining. We are using food color dyes. That means they actually have colors. So if you have kind of, sits on a surface, then actually it's quite annoying. And actually the questions, the second one, we addressed actually carefully.
Yeah.
Again, if particle size or aerosol size is smaller than 5 microns, then they're just floating. Actually, they don't just kind of fall on the ground to the surface. So surface staining is really minimal. But again, we have to really address carefully any potential safety issue and et cetera.
Well, Professor Kim, I hope that all of these issues get worked out soon. Obviously, as the other researchers are looking for ways to create vaccines to fight the coronavirus, you're finding ways to help better disinfect everything that the virus may still happen to be out there and cling on. And the best of luck to you on that. And I hope you do get the approval, especially on the safety issues, to be able to put it to actual use someplace.
Thank you so much for having me out, Joe.
You're welcome. We've been speaking with the Purdue University Biomedical Engineering Professor Young Kim. He works for the Purdue Quantum Science and Engineering Institute on the West Lafayette campus. And he and his team members have worked up a new approach to being able to set up airborne disinfection uses to fight the virus using food coloring dyes.
You can listen to Regionally Speaking Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to noon on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM and anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast.